Discovering stories of people living out their beliefs in our culture, communities, and the public square. And finding courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
As kids, we had moments where we imagined what the future would look like. And maybe we pictured being a cowboy, a firefighter, or maybe even president of the United States. Now, those types of imaginative moments don't tend to be particularly predictive, but other aspects of childhood imagination seemed quite a bit more reasonable. Nearly all of us probably envisioned that when we grew up, we'd find someone to spend our lives with. And yet, for more Americans than ever before, we're traveling the road of life without a sidekick. So, what about us singles? Are we exotic? Is marriage something we should even want in 2015? And how can we navigate the ever more befuddling realm of dating in a way that honors God and actually works? Today, we go on the road with someone who's walking that path herself, and we discover a fresh take and a hopeful, practical set of advice from Lisa Anderson, who leads the young adult division at Focus on the Family and hosts a weekly podcast and radio program called The Boundless Show. That's heard right here on Faith Radio. Her newest book is out today called The Dating Manifesto, a drama-free plan for pursuing marriage with purpose. And Lisa, it's a distinct pleasure to have you. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us today.
Well, it is so great to be here with you, Ryan.
Just a personal note at the very beginning, just so you know where I'm coming from and so our listening friends can understand this. I am 29 at this very moment, Lisa, and thus I took particular notice of how you described your 30th birthday in the book. You spoke of a moment from that day when you suddenly realized, it suddenly hit you, that you were single. Could you paint that picture?
Yeah. You know, it was weird. I was actually sitting at my folks' house in western Minnesota, and it was just the morning of my 30th birthday. I was actually planning to go to my uncle's funeral. He had died unexpectedly the week before. And I was just sitting there with a cup of coffee and thought to myself, oh my word, it's my 30th birthday and I'm still single. And it's not like I hadn't thought, you know, or known in the, you know, previously that I was single. I mean, clearly that was obvious. But it was the day that it really hit me that the way I had scripted my life had not worked out how I had planned it to work out. And it was just this sinking feeling that immediately started snowballing into a, okay, this is where I am. This is not the story I wanted. What did I do wrong? What's wrong with me? And it just like was this dark place of like, oh my goodness, almost a frantic feeling of like, I'm now going to be 30 years old and I'm still not married. I don't have this story that I thought I would have. You know, my mother had like, goodness, four kids by now, you know, whatever. And so it was this feeling of being left behind and feeling like, how was I going to catch up?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you say something interesting early on in the book, that throughout your 20s, even from your unique perch working at this huge family ministry, Focus on the Family, you had
exactly.
Very few conversations about what a family would look like for you. Do you think that's increasingly the case for many of us, or are we losing a sense of perhaps what family and what marriage is all about somehow?
I think we are, because if I look back at the way my mom tells her story, and even my older siblings who are a bit older than me, for them, marriage was so normative. You went to school, you graduated high school, you maybe went to college, but once you were done with college, you, quote, settled down. And that's when everyone either looked around in their churches or maybe at their Christian college, and they're like, yeah, you know, I'm like 22, 23, 24, it's time for me to get married. But for me, I grew up out in the Bay Area of California, and the script that I was delivered, even though I saw good marriages in my church and in my own parents, of course, was very much different. It was like, Lisa, no one is going to take care of you because you need to go out and you need to get your education. You need to start on your career. You need to become successful. You need to make something of your life.
Right.
And maybe in the future, then tack on some marriage when it's in your timing and, you know, on your terms.
Yeah.
But I never, it was just wasn't normative. And so I wasn't really thinking about it. I just assumed, Ryan, I'm like, oh yeah, of course I'll get married someday. I'll you know, find someone great and it'll just happen. And it's going to be this Hollywood romance. And, you know, I just assumed it would happen. And then clearly, as I said before, I was 30 and it hadn't.
Alongside that, you talk about having numerous conversations with young people, and you deal with many young people, of course, in your ministry today, where they make it clear that they see marriage somewhere in the future, in a way as though you're describing, but not in the, quote, immediate future. Why do you see that distinction as being key? Why is that significant to us?
Well, it's almost the Christian version of what I just described getting from the public schools. Now, we certainly don't want to denigrate marriage. We don't want to say, oh, it's worthless, forget it, you know, in kind of this me thing I was getting from non-Christians growing up. But what we're doing instead is we're over-spiritualizing other callings in the sense of, you know, now young adults are being told from their pastors and mentors and others, oh, well, you have all the to get married.
Right.
So don't worry about that. That's going to happen. What you need to do now is do all these great experiences and even good things. I mean, I'm not saying these are bad things, but we now have a generation of young adults who think that before they get married, they need to go over to Africa and start orphanages, or they need to be on the stage at Catalyst or Passion, or they need to, you know, be building wells somewhere in a third world country.
Yeah.
And it's this idea of, I'm going to be something big and do something great and be amazing. And then in the future, when I've done all these good things, then I'll settle down and, quote, just be married. And it's such a bad, bad script for where we're going, because marriage and family in and of itself is truly one of the highest biblical callings, I think.
Understood. The fresh perspective we're gaining on the road today here on Faith Radio is that of Lisa Anderson, who leads the young adult division at Focus on the Family. She's involved, of course, hosting the radio program The Boundless Show, an excellent show you hear on Faith Radio. Her newest book out today called The Dating Manifesto, a drama-free plan for pursuing marriage with purpose. And we do kindly, thanks to Lisa and her publicist, have 5 copies of the book to give away. And you can enter to win a copy of The Dating Manifesto at myfaithradio.com when you just look for On the Road. And then you can just send us a note via the Contact Us box there at myfaithradio.com. And Lisa, you mentioned it seems like many of us kind of want to get our life in order before we'd even consider marriage, whether that's financially, whether it's vocationally. But you mentioned in the book, and I think there was a lot of truth to it, there may never come a moment in life, will there, when we sort of have it all together?
No. No, and I think you ask anyone in their 50s or 60s, and they're going to say, yeah, forget it. I'm still trying to get my life together. You know, we're always going to be going through some kind of bump in the road or some new struggle. And I think we've kind of been sold as a younger adult generation a bill of goods in thinking that we have to have this whole thing mapped out, or all our ducks in a row, or everything figured, you know, everything tied up with a bow. You know, I talk to young adults every day who are saying, well, I'm going to get married, Lisa, don't worry. But what I just need to do first is I need to finish graduate school, and then I need to get a job, and then I need to make sure it's a good paying job. Then I need to be able to buy a house and, you know, furnish it with all this Ethan Allen furniture, and then maybe I can settle down. And I'm like, our grandparents, like, were sitting on orange crates, and they were eating eggs every night, and they were making it happen, you know? And I think we're kind of just getting into this fairy tale mindset of that we just have to have our lives together. But truly, marriage is one of the greatest growing and sanctifying and maturing experiences you can have. So it's really the way to get to that place, much more so than just dinking around in your 20s and 30s hoping it'll happen to you.
Well, I really enjoy the way that you phrase the truth that you have here, Lisa. There's a lot of truth in the book. And another moment that made me smile as I read was when you said this, and I'll quote you, "Wanting marriage, ironically, even praying for it, is often equated with not trusting God or taking matters into our own hands. If God wants us to be married, he'll get us married," right? And even though, as I read that out loud, the thinking sounds silly, I mean, that's really how a lot of us do think, isn't it?
Oh, it is. And this is where I call out the marrieds that are listening right now, because I think this is where, and I tell people, I say, you know, the book is called The Dating Manifesto, but there's a lot in this book for parents of young adults, for those who are married and just have single or young adult people in their life who are working within the church, because we are looking to you. Okay, this is where I feel this generation has kind of messed us up, okay, because they have come, they have kind of come after and helped us assume that, you know, that marriage is going to be delivered to us and that it will, you know, like you said, that it'll just happen, you know, that it's going to be easy and all this stuff. And They're trying to tell us, oh, don't worry, you know, you get your life in order, do this, make sure, you know, I've gotten so many platitudes, Ryan, about, oh, well, now you just need to go on another missions trip. You just need to don't think too much of marriage. Don't make marriage an idol. And I say, you know what? God is the biggest fan of marriage. He's the one that created it. The Bible begins with marriage. It ends with marriage. Marriage is normative for most people. And so I think we need to start elevating it within the church. We need to start talking about it. We need to start honoring it. Allah, Hebrews 13:4 says marriage is to be honored by all. And I don't know where we got this notion that, you know, marriage is less than, or it's just something that is, you're going to wait for it. I think I say in the book, we wait for it to hit us like the flu, you know, when really we need to be intentionally preparing for it.
We're here with Lisa Anderson on the road today. She is the leader of the Young Adult Division at Focus on the Family. It's a pretty significant ministry. You may have heard of it. The Boundless Show she hosts as well. It's a weekly podcast as well. And you hear the show here on Faith Radio. Her newest book out today is called The Dating Manifesto, A Drama-Free Plan for Pursuing Marriage with Purpose. And you were reflecting a bit there on just how good a thing marriage is, but it is true, isn't it, that there is a certain societal angst when it comes to marriage today. Does that have to do with the divorce rates? Is it because of how marriage is changing? Why is it, do you think, that societally we're almost looking down on marriage more than we ever have, perhaps?
Yeah, it's a weird thing, Ryan, because what we've seen, especially among the millennial generation, is that millennials actually have a very high view of marriage, much more so than the Gen Xers. You know, you look back at the end of the 60s, the boomer generation, oh, marriage is just a piece of paper, we don't need it, whatever. Millennials love the idea of marriage. They love the idea of commitment, but they're terrified of it, being the product of the largest divorce generation in history, which is the boomer generation.
Sure,
so their thing is, I want marriage, I want this part of my story, but I'm not sure I can do it well. I'm not sure I can get married and stay together with my spouse because my parents didn't. I never saw that example. I don't know how to make it work when the rubber hits the road and times get tough. And so as a result, we're seeing millennials play at marriage. They are practicing it by being in long go nowhere relationships, by a lot of promiscuity, by cohabitation. They're trying to practice that marriage and secure commitment without actually making the decision and taking the plunge. And it's reaping more problems, obviously, in the sense of having sown them. And so it's creating this weird catch-22 that I think we as the church need to turn around and take ownership of and step in and show that marriage is not only a good thing, but it can be done well. And with God's help, it is really one of the best institutions out there as far as creating a normative culture that glorifies God and creates healthy relationships in general.
Absolutely. And of course, on that road to marriage, what your book deals with so well is that season of dating. And why is it? I realize this is a big question, a wide-ranging one, but why is dating just so confusing and so hard in 2015?
Well, it's because God somehow did not put, like, first and second dating in the Bible. I don't know why those books were left out of the canon. I haven't figured it out yet, but somehow they're not.
Right.
And we just want to thumb through Scripture and say, where does God talk about dating? Where is he going to tell me who's that perfect soulmate for me to, you know, me to fit with? Where, you know, and it's just not true. But what we see is a lot of great principles throughout Scripture for what it looks like to move towards marriage with biblical intention. And so the problem is, instead of looking to Scripture and looking at what it looks like in general to move into marriage in a way that elevates sacrifice and commitment and faithfulness, You know, we all know about Gary Thomas, you know, sacred yeah. marriage, and saying, you know, let's look at marriage as making us holy, not happy. But instead, we're wanting to say, okay, how is this relationship going to complete me? How's it going to fix me? What's it going to do? And as a result, we've taken all of our cues from the world. And so, Ryan, I am seeing young adults, even in the church, and I'm talking about committed young adults who love Jesus, who are dating, like their lives look just like the world. They are in go-nowhere relationships. They are dating unbelievers. They're unequally yoked. They are crossing boundaries on all different levels. And that's where I'm just saying we need a different script. We've got to do this differently. One, if we're going to honor God, and two, if we're actually going to get to a relationship that lasts.
Understood. Well, as we talk about some of the mistakes, what are some of the biggest prescriptions that you have really thought through? And of course, the book offers, what are some of the biggest prescriptions that you offer for dating, perhaps in a different way than we do today?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest ones is we have to start dating in community again. Young adults have been left so much to their own devices. And again, you know, I look to the church and I look to parents of young adults who, you know, every time I talk to them, they just give me deer in the headlights. And they're like, well, Lisa, I don't want to get involved in my kid's love life, or I don't want to mess with, you know, with them and their boyfriend or girlfriend. And I'm like, that is exactly what we need you to do. That is exactly what was done several generations ago, where it was families and communities and churches that helped direct people towards good matches. We've got to bring dating into the light and do it with accountability, with purpose, with direction, in community, in the sense with godly people who can hold you accountable to moving that relationship along with purity and with purpose. And so that's one of the things I see for sure. The other is we have to treat those that we're dating as brothers and sisters in Christ. We do not treat them as, you know, our spouses. You are not married until you're married. And that's where I'm saying people go way too far, too fast.
Right.
They are a brother and sister in Christ until you actually put that ring on the finger. And so what does it look like to protect that relationship with purity? What does it look like to honor them, to be upfront and to be bold and to be, you know, for guys to step out and take the risk, to take the lead, for women not to be, you know, having read the book that I say this, it drives me nuts, Ryan. Women get catty and crazy and they start taking the reins and blaming men and getting all like, oh, well, if guys weren't so lame and so passive and okay, yeah, whatever. Guys, there are guys out there that are lame and passive, okay?
Yeah.
But women, we're not doing much better either. So we have to look at the script differently and honor one another as creations of the Almighty God and move forward again with honesty, with boldness, and with intention.
Lisa Anderson joins us today on The Road for Faith Radio, and I'm Ryan Thomas, just enjoying the conversation very much. Lisa leads the Young Adult Division at Focus on the Family, hosts a weekly podcast and radio show that you hear right here on Faith Radio called The Boundless Show. And her newest book we've been talking about is out today. It's called The Dating Manifesto, a drama-free plan for pursuing marriage with purpose. And you can sign up to win a copy of that book when you visit myfaithradio.com, look for On the Road, and just use that Contact Us box to send us a note. Say, hey, I would like a copy of Lisa's book. As we talk about the ins and outs of dating, Lisa, one of the most consistently spoken about things, I think, when it comes to dating is the checklist that so many of us have for what we want in a future spouse. So let me just ask you, is it wrong for a woman to have a list of qualities she wants in a spouse, or for a guy to kind of have a mental list of what he's attracted to?
Okay, so I'm going to say it's not wrong. When it is wrong is when it just gets crazy and it goes beyond like any kind of biblical standards or norms.
Sure.
So I tell in the book the story of writing my own list in junior high, and this was at church and youth group, and we were told to write down the 50 things we wanted in our spouse, and then we were going to pray over them. And my goodness, you know, I put a few down, like Christian. I wanted God to know I was serious. And, you know, I said, okay, you know, loves Jesus, is serving, wants a family, you know. But then by the end, hair color and what sports he liked and what, you know, and I just looked at this list and I'm like, I've crafted this guy. Now, where is he? And I think what happened, Ryan, is this guy actually didn't exist.
Yeah.
So it's a wonder I'm still single, you know, I mean, honestly. So I finally had to realize that when it comes to dating and moving towards marriage, there are really what I think are about four or five things that are necessary. And that is a true disciple of Jesus Christ. And this is where you really have to eliminate the posers and the players.
Yeah.
This is not about like I'm retweeting John Piper every week. This isn't about like I went to Sunday school growing up or I sit in the back of a mega church with my double walled coffee mug. This is like I am in God's word and he is directing my life. You also need to have someone who is humble and teachable. If you cannot have someone who can communicate, repent of their sin, forgive you of your sin, you're going to be in for a world of hurt trying to make a relationship work. You also need someone who is in what I call, and I talk extensively about this someone who is in a position to marry. This means that they can actually date and move forward towards marriage. So guys, time to get that job, okay? You need to be ready to support a spouse and a family. It means that you can keep your finances in order. It means that you can keep your word in situations where it matters. So that's something important as well. And then finally, you want someone whose calling is similar to yours or whose calling you can join so that you're heading in the same direction, God's moving you in that way, and you will make a great match and be able to, as others have said, serve God better together than you would apart. Those are the non-negotiables. Everything else, attraction is important. I talk about that in the book. Let's not act like we're all just, you know, super spiritual and, oh, I only care about the people's hearts. You know, no, God is the only one who really does. Let's be honest. But attraction is important. That's totally legitimate.
Right.
But let's not make it the first thing.
I wanted to be sure and ask you about this because it's the prevalence of it has just become so, so huge. But online dating, is it something mm-hmm. that you really recommend? Is it something that you really recommend against? Where are you on that?
It's funny, Ryan. I actually am totally fine with online dating. I think sometimes people look at me and they're like, oh my goodness, are you really a believer? Like, how can you believe in online dating? Because people just think, again, it's one of those things that Christians put in the category of, oh, if you're going online, you must not trust God. You just
right.
really need to wait for God to deliver someone to you. And I'm like, when does God ever deliver us a job? That's what I want to know, okay? No, actually, God says, why don't you write a resume and go out and do some interviews and network and go look for a job? And so I see online dating as a tool. It's a way to meet people, especially in a mobile culture where young adults are moving all over the country to take jobs, to take schooling. And so it's possible to find your mate. In fact, I probably have 12 to 15 friends who have gotten married off of relationships online. Where it comes down to it is you have to do it, again, with accountability and with purpose. I literally know people who have been online for 10 years, and all they do is cycle in and out of these pen pal relationships that are going nowhere.
Right.
Instead, you need to do it with a time frame. You need to narrow your geography. You need to have a game plan, and you need to actually start meeting these people, okay, and taking it into real time and real space.
Well, I had every expectation that this was going to be a delightful conversation, but it has gone even faster than I anticipated. And I'll reiterate in just a moment, we've got five free copies. You can sign up for one of those, and I'll tell you how in just 1 second. But I wanted to ask you sort of an impossible question as we said farewell, which was, if people only had a chance to take away one thing from the book and one thing from your story and what you've undergone, what would you say that one thing would be?
Wow, that is an impossible question, but I will put something out there.
Thank you.
I think it's what I learned near the end of my journey, and we didn't even talk about the part of the book that talks about navigating singleness. That's another whole area. I don't want people to think that God does not care about the single person or about what we're struggling with or where we're going or even if we enjoy our single season. But the one thing I would say is that God is still in the business of making good matches. You know, if your marriage story is going to take a miracle, God can do a miracle. And if you are meant to be single, God is going to meet you there. And God is going to encourage you, whether you are single now for a week or you're single for a year or you're single for the rest of your life. trust him with your story. It is what matters most. He has got your back. He cares about you more than anyone else in the world. And so put your life in his hands and you will not go wrong.
Well said. Well, for an impossible question, I'd say you answered it very well.
Thanks so much.
Okay, it's myfaithradio.com. When you look for On the Road, you can sign up simply by sending us a note there on the Contact Us information bar, and you can sign up to win one of those 5 free books of The Dating Manifesto, a drama-free plan for pursuing marriage with purpose. Lisa Anderson, the author, has been with us here on the road, and Lisa, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate you.
Oh, Ryan, thank you so much, and just thanks for your rooting for me through my story and beyond. And all of you out there who get the book, let me know what you think of it. In fact, you can find me on lisacanderson.com, and I would love to hear your thoughts and have the chance to dialogue with you about it.
Thank you so much once again, and we wish you all the best as you continue taking this message all across the country and around the world.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.